But I want you to know something. When it comes down to it, nobody's word gets valued above the word of God. Not in my life, not in the life of my family, not in my home. The highest value we place on anything goes to the word of God.
What has more value to you, the Word of God or the opinions of others? Join guest teacher Jeremy Pearson today as he reveals the importance of always putting God's Word first in all we do. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have asked me to fill in on this broadcast this week. And when they call and ask for that, man, it thrills me to get to spend time with you around the Word of God. And while they're out ministering and preaching the Word of God, it's just a real honor to get to come in here. And maybe we're coming into your home. Maybe we're coming into your car. I don't know where you are watching this. And I know there's a lot of people in a lot of different places just getting a hold of the Word of God any way they can. And it's an honor to get to come together with you around the Word. And I'm going to pray and we'll get right into our Bible study for today. Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, we're so thrilled that we have the Word of God to put in our eyes, to put in our ears, because it is a revelation of who you are. Lord, we are not left to guess and to wonder about your character or to make assumptions. No, we have it so clearly before us that you are a God of love, a God who loves and cares so deeply for us. And we thank you for it. Holy Spirit, we look to you today to be our teacher and our guide, to fill our minds, to fill our mouths with good words that bring life and health to everyone who hears it. We thank you for it and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Get your Bible. We're going to go back to where we left off last week in our study of the sower sows the word. It took days to lay a foundation of where we're going in this. And I just want to take a minute to catch you back up. And we can't spend all our time saying what we did last week, but let me encourage you, go to kcm.org. All the broadcasts from last week and from last year and the year before, I know there's a lot of broadcasts on there. So I don't know if they're all on there from years before, but I know you can find a lot of materials and you can go back and get the ones that we've already established and laid foundation. It's absolutely free to you. So kcm.org, and you can check that out. But I want to go back to Matthew chapter 13, and I want to pick up on what Jesus was saying here. In verse 1, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, in other words, look, Jesus is saying, I'm going to show you something. And Jesus is still saying to you and to me today, I'm going to show you something. He is in the revealing business. That is what he does. God is a revealer. He's not the one keeping things from you. He's the one wanting to show you things. And we're going to read words in this parable, and you see it throughout the New Testament, that these things are a mystery, but don't let that throw you. The scripture says to us in Colossians that God willed to make known to us what is the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's His will. Don't ever say, I just wish I knew the will of God. You go to the Word and you find out, and you find scriptures that say, this is the will of God for you. And you find a place where it says, God willed to make known the mystery, not to keep it hidden, but to make it known to you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, look, behold, a sower went out to sow. Actually, if you couple this with Mark chapter 4, this same account, he said, listen and behold, look and listen. Use your eyes and use your ears. And that's important for our study. Verse 4, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. they withered away. It says some, in verse 7, fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Now, let me reestablish this for you. Every time you see that word some, it's the Greek word, it's spelled A-L-L-O. We could translate it like this, some of the same kind of seed, and that's important. So you need to know that he wasn't planting this kind of seed on this kind of ground and another kind of seed on another kind of ground. No, the man who went out that day to sow, all the same seed coming out of the same bag, and as he threw it, that same seed fell on different kinds of ground. Now, if you were to just stop after that third kind of ground, you would think, this seed does not work. Something's wrong with this seed. But the moment you get to good ground and the seed got planted on good ground, what happened? It yielded a crop. It produced fruit. It produced results. The results that were already in that seed. You know, every time you plant a seed, it's so small, you know, you hold it in the palm of your hand, but what you hold is inside that seed is the ability to reproduce big, reproduce visible, reproduce fruit. I mean, produce a whole tree with fruit hanging off every branch, and all of that is inside one seed. Now, Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What is he saying? He says, you need to listen to this, but don't just listen to the words. Listen through the words and let this paint a picture. And that's what the Word of God does. That's what the ministry of Jesus does. It paints a beautiful picture on the inside of you where you can grasp it. And we've established that this parable, when you read through it and you find that Jesus said, the sower sows the Word. This parable is about what is inside the Word. Just as there is a tree inside every seed, there is life inside the Word. There is salvation inside the Word. And every time the Word gets sown, it's like a seed falling to the ground. But what we've got to establish here is even though there's all this power, all this life inherent and intrinsic in the Word of God, you and I, we got to face something, a pretty cold, hard reality here, and that is 3 out of 4 times the Word got sown and it did not produce. And I feel as though I hear people say that when Sarah and I are out ministering, we travel and we're in different churches and we're with different people. And it's such a joy to find people who the Word of God is working in their life. It's producing. They're going from glory to glory. Life is changing and it's beautiful. But at the same time, we find people who are saying, you know what? I think I'm doing this right and it's not working. And as a minister of the gospel, I am not content just to look at somebody and say, well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. That's cheap and that's a cop-out. My desire, this thing that God put on the inside of me as a minister of the gospel is not just to preach the Word. It's not just to sow the Word. The desire is to see the end result of the Word getting planted in you, in your heart, going down deep and producing fruit. I don't want to just preach salvation and nobody get born again. That's no fun. That's not exciting to me. What's exciting is to sow the Word of the kingdom. What's exciting to me is to sow and to preach that Jesus saves. He's a saving Savior. He's the Lord who loves us. He is the greatest demonstration of love that this world has ever seen. And in response to that, the seed gets sown into the lives of people and they respond. And salvation comes to fruition in their lives. That's the end result of that Word being sown. And that's what satisfies me. That's what thrills me. The same thing applies to preaching healing. I'm not satisfied just to stand up and preach what the Word of God says about healing. I'll do that and I'll do it till the day I die. But it doesn't end there. It ends when the Word on healing gets preached and sown into somebody's life and they receive it and it produces a harvest of healing in their life. You understand what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying the Word got sown, but there were issues that kept it from producing. And we have established that in looking at this parable and other places in the Word, that the Word will identify for you if it's not working in your life, Here's why. And we've seen already that Jesus has talked about the people that he was preaching to. They would see him, but they didn't see him. They had eyes, but they weren't seeing. They weren't perceiving. They could hear with their ears, but they weren't understanding. It says that their ears had become hard of hearing, and their eyes they had shut. Their hearts were hard. Because if they would understand the word, he said, that's when he would be able to intervene and work in their lives in healing. All of this is in this parable, and I'm just doing a brief recap of it. And we've established that this parable is about what you see, what you hear, what you understand. When situations arise in your life and you need the word of God to be at work, are you quick to see Jesus? Because that's what this parable is all about. When his disciples came and said, what's this parable mean? He said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any of them. So the foundation here is a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. He is not just a good teacher. He was not just a good man with some good ideas and good sayings. That rich young ruler, you remember him? He came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what do I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus entered into a conversation with him, personal invitation to this young man, go and sell what you have, give to the poor, come follow me. But this young man walked away sad. And we talked about that last week in this broadcast. What is the response that you have when you hear the word of God? That dictates, and that is that gives you an idea of the kind of soil of your heart. What's your response? Is your response, oh, I've heard this before? Is your response like this young man, you walk away sad when you hear the sayings? Because here was an opportunity to come follow Jesus. But what happened? He saw Jesus as a good teacher, but nothing more. And he put Jesus as a good teacher on the same level as it's good to have some money, and he weighed those out and he found, well, I like having money better. He had no idea of the true concept of the goodness of God. This is not good English, but there is no gooder invitation than to come follow Jesus. That is as good as it gets, and it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And we've established that this whole parable is about seeing him. Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are your eyes, for you see. Blessed are your ears, for you hear. Verse 17 of Matthew 13 says, assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, to hear what you hear and did not hear it. He's saying to these men standing in front of him, you're blessed because you see me. You're blessed because you hear me. And then he began to get into the different kinds of ground. You know, he said some seed, some of the same kind of seed was sown on the wayside, some was sown on stony ground, some was sown among thorns, and some was sown on good ground. And one out of four times did it produce harvest. And Jesus identified why the word was not able to produce. And we covered this on one of our broadcasts last week, last Thursday. But let me just reiterate some of these things. He said in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, the sower sows the word. So that's what this seed is. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom, does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away the word that was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Jesus said when word gets sown in an individual, but if they don't understand it, then Satan comes immediately, that's Mark 4, to steal the word that was sown. And we established that understanding doesn't just simply mean when you hear a preacher, you say, okay, I get it. I understand how that works. That's a level of a meaning of that word. But on a deeper level, understanding means this. It means to grasp the meaning, the value of something. It means to grasp and to understand how valuable it is. And the example I gave you was, if my truck were to break down someday, it would really do me no good to go stand there and look at the motor and try to figure it out, because I have no understanding of how that works. I could look at that and I might be checking washer fluid, trying to figure out why my engine won't start. You know what? I don't understand, or I don't see what's valuable in there. I can't look into that and decide, okay, the valuable thing here, the key here is this element, or it's this belt, or it's this whatever. You can tell how much I don't know about it. But somebody who has an understanding of how those things work can look into it and say, okay, this is the problem, or they can determine what's valuable, what deserves their attention. Proverbs chapter 4, he wrote and said, "My son, give attention to my words." I've established that there's a difference between what you hear and what you know. And in Proverbs chapter 4, he said, "My children, hear the instruction of a father and give attention to know understanding." So there's a difference between what you've heard and what you know. You can hear noise, you can hear chatter in the same way you can hear somebody preach the word. But until you give your attention to it, until you say, all other voices get shut off, everything else, I'm not looking at anything else, but I'm giving my attention to the word of God. That's what's good about church. That's what's good about watching a broadcast like this. You shut everything else down and you say, Lord, for this next little bit, if it's 30 minutes or 2 hours or whatever it is, you have my attention. Nothing else gets my ears. Nothing else gets in front of my eyes. Only you. And he said, when that happens, you will know understanding. And in verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget them. Verse 6, do not forsake her, she'll preserve you. Love her, she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And you see what a key understanding is in keeping the word that was sown in your hearts. When you understand that the word is what's valuable, that's when it can produce in your life. I was thinking about a friend of mine. Sarah and I were having dinner with he and his wife just a few months ago. And they have, this young couple, great people, great ministers, anointed to minister the word, and they have two of the most beautiful little kids you have ever seen in your whole life. Just precious. But they were telling us just some of the things that they had been through. She had had difficult pregnancies. As a matter of fact, after their daughter was born, they got pregnant again, and just complications all the way through. And they went through probably one of the most heart-wrenching situations I imagine any couple could ever go through. And she carried that child through her pregnancy. And when it was born stillborn. And it just rocked them. It shook them. But they refused to let depression in. And they went before the Lord. And they got scripture and they found out what the Lord wanted to minister into their lives. And even though the life of that young child was took, it did not discourage them. And sometime later they were pregnant again. But I want you to notice something. There were complications again in that pregnancy that really tried to discourage them. And what did they do? She told us she did this. She said she did that thing that we tell everybody not to do. She just opened the Bible and pointed to a scripture. And she pointed to a scripture that said something to the effect of, "And the boy shall live." And she said, "That's it. That's my scripture." Well, sometime later, she went to a doctor's appointment and she got a not good report. That doctor told her, "This is not looking good. I don't like what I'm seeing. We may be in a similar situation here. I'm not sure this child is going to live." Showed her x-rays. She literally went home with x-rays that was basically bad news all over it. And she got home and she just wept. I mean, here she is again facing something that she feels like she's been through and it's all too familiar. Where her husband got home, this is a guy who's a pastor on staff at a church, just a world famous church, just changing the world for Jesus. And he got home and she was crying and he said, "What's happening?" And she said, "I went to the doctor," and she held up that x-ray. And she said, "This is what he said, and these are all the problems," and she was crying. He didn't even address it. He left the room. He went and got his Bible, and he held them up. He held up that Bible to her, and he held up that x-ray to her, and he said, "Now listen to me. This x-ray is ink on paper, and the words of this are ink on paper. You tell me which one you're going to believe." He said, I've got a letter here from this doctor that says this child's life is in danger, but I've got a letter," this is his exact words, and oh, it got me so excited. He said, "I've got a letter from Dr. Jesus that this child shall live." And he held those up to his wife and he said, "You pick which one you believe." And through her tears, she looked and she pointed at the Bible and she said, "That one." That so stirred in me, and I want you to know that that little boy was born, and he is a healthy, beautiful little boy. And that story so ministered to me, and the Lord said to me, here's what happened. My word was able to work in his life and in the life of that family, and even in the life of that unborn child, because they valued my word. Because they valued the word over what they valued an x-ray. Now, I appreciate a doctor doing his job and communicating what needs to be said. I love and appreciate doctors, but I want you to know something. When it comes down to it, nobody's word gets valued above the word of God. Not in my life, not in the life of my family, not in my home. The highest value we place on anything goes to the word of God. And if Jesus said, by his stripes you were healed, I'm telling you, that is where my value is placed, and that is when the Word of God can begin to work in your life. Jesus said, if you don't understand it or if you don't value it, it can't produce for you. And I mentioned this to you last week, but I want to say it again. When something of value is left unprotected, what happens to it? It gets stolen. That's exactly what Satan comes to do. When somebody hears the word of God and they don't hear it as precious, they don't hear it as valuable, that seed that got planted, maybe in a service, maybe on a broadcast like this, maybe even in their own prayer time, the Lord spoke something to you. But if that seed of that word is not protected as precious and valuable, and you say, Lord, this belongs to me, it's mine forever, and I won't let it be stolen. If it's not treated that way, Satan comes immediately to steal the word. And that's what Jesus outlined for us here. He said, the wicked one comes, snatches away the seed that was sown. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. And I'm telling you, this is how two people could sit in the exact same service and listen to the same singing, listen to the same preaching, and one of them get their life totally changed, radically transformed forever, and the guy sitting next to him walk out bored. Now, how is that possible? You heard the same message, you heard the same scripture. How is it possible that it could affect people in two totally different ways? Because one of them valued the word that was preached, and one of them said, yeah, I've heard this before. Let me read this to you as we close this broadcast out of Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to hear everything we've been saying in and around Matthew chapter 13. I want you to see it all in this scripture. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. It's who you say Jesus is. That the eyes of your understanding, what you see in Him, being enlightened, that you would know the hope, not just what you've heard, what you know, the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Praise God. That's what He wants to do in you. I'm out of time, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Southwest Believers Convention will be the 4th through 9th of July, 2011 at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Terry Pearson's will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference, September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org.
The Word works, and it's all I need. This newly repackaged teaching by Kenneth Copeland is an in-depth study into the ministry of Jesus and the parable of the sower. It's a timeless four-part series that will remind you of the unlimited power of the Word of God and its ability to anchor you in any situation. Learn how God's Word can bring you victory and produce the desired results in your life. When you order this product, you'll receive strength and beauty in the presence of the healer. The brand new music CD from Sarah Hart Pearson's.
We know that worship brings us into the presence of the Lord. But my desire in making this music is to help us recognize that when we're in His presence, we're in the presence of the healer.
By the stripes of Jesus.
This CD is yours free when you purchase the audio teaching series, The Word Works, and It's All I Need.
Make the decision to put the Word of God first. Kenneth Copeland's teaching on The Word Works and It's All I Need is a great place to start. Order this series for just $20, and as a bonus, we'll send you free the newest worship CD by Sarah Hart Pearson's Strength and Beauty in the Presence of the Healer. Surround yourself with the Word of God with this teaching series and worship CD. They make great gifts, so order several for your family and friends. For an additional product discount and faster processing, purchase your copies at kcm.org.
The Word works, and it's all I need. Did you know it's not your job to get yourself healed? Your job is to get the Word of God in you and let the Word of God heal you. Now, that is an exact quote that I pulled from Kenneth Copeland in this classic series. And this series, I went back and listened to it in my study for these broadcasts. And this whole thing is about what you and I have been talking about on these broadcasts. And it is absolutely life-changing. You need to get a hold of these things. They're going to be a blessing to you. When you write or call and order this series, then we are going to send to you absolutely free my wife, Sarah, her brand new CD called Strength and Beauty in the Presence of the Healer. I am so thrilled with this CD because we heard the voice of the Lord tell her to make this. Every single one of these songs has everything to do with drawing your eyes to Jesus as your healer. And this is a healing CD, and it's got the Word of God in it. Sarah's music is essentially scripture set to melody, and it's beautiful. We're already getting testimonies from families and people, specifically people putting this on for their young kids. It's not designed as a kid's CD, but you know what? It works in them, and they put it on at night, and these kids are getting healed and set free, and the Lord has proved Himself faithful through this. So if you're looking for great gifts, maybe this Christmas you're looking for something to give to friends and family, both of these would be excellent choices for you. Order yours today. And in these broadcasts, this is exactly what we're dealing with, getting the Word of God down on the inside of us and letting it take root and produce what only the Word of God can. And that's what meetings are about. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, the meetings that they do throughout the year is about getting the Word of God on the inside of you. That's why they're coming to Branson, Missouri for the Branson Victory Campaign, March 3rd through the 5th. And as always, that's held at Faith Life Church. Pastors Keith and Phyllis Moore, always an awesome meeting, always a great place to attend and get full of the Word of God. Sarah and I are doing a lot of traveling for the rest of this year and all of 2011. So if you'd like to be a part of any of the services that we do, you can go to our website, PearsonsMinistries.com. Or for any of the information on Kenneth and Gloria's meetings, go to kcm.org, and all the information you need will be there. I want you to join me all this week. We look forward to having my wife Sarah again with us on Friday. It's going to be an awesome day. And this week, we're just going to hear from the Word and let it change us. Amen. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Love Himself has thrown His arms around you and He refuses to let go. So persecution can't pull you off. Tribulation can't pull you off. And when you know how much you're loved, then the Word of God can work in your life.